Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to November. I pray that you are well as we enter into this new month. And yet it strikes me that November is perhaps not the easiest of months to enter into. The daylight is very noticeably shrinking. The days themselves are growing colder. At a personal level, November marks the beginning of an often busy holiday season, with Thanksgiving just a few weeks away. And certainly those holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas can be a source of great joy for families, but they can also be a source of tension and unease if things aren't going well within the family. So, if you're anything like me, a dose of hope goes a long way in a month like November. Thankfully, God's word to us over the next several weeks will be providing just that, hope, real living hope. Get me out of bed on a cold, dark morning, hope. Hope that will bless me to love even difficult family members. Hope that will give me the strength to endure the end of the year, busyness and chaos. Hope that has the power to raise my sights above the darkness and difficulty on display in the world to the glorious good that God has in store for me, for us, and for all who have placed their trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. On this weekend, where we celebrate the Festival of All Saints, we begin our hope journey by fixing our eyes and our faith on the source of hope for every believer, every saint who has ever lived, on Jesus, our Savior. And today we have opportunity to give thanks and praise to God for those who have lived and encouraged us to follow that same course of faith, trusting in Jesus, who left behind a worthy legacy of faith in Christ and love for others. Here at Hope, for example, we give thanks and praise especially for three beloved sisters in Christ. We remember Lisa Mickles and Liz Carlson and Elva Zemer, those dear members here at Hope who have passed away in the last year, who left behind a legacy of faith for us, who loved us and loved their families, and now who are at rest with the Savior, with Jesus Himself. And all these I mentioned, our three sisters in Christ, the saints from the Scriptures who have gone before us, you and I, we are saints for the same reason. God has made us so, for Jesus' sake. It's what St. John's writing about in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Allow me to share those words again with you today. From 1 John 3, verse 1, John writes, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are." In love, God is pleased to call us His children. And if He says it, it's so. His declaration over you and me is not contingent on anything else. The price for your ransom and your salvation, your adoption, has been paid at the cross of Jesus. The righteousness, the perfect goodness by which you stand in the presence of God is not something that you have earned, but it's something that's been given to you. It's been placed upon you at your baptism. St. Paul writes that all who are baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. He's done it all. And He's declared it to be so for you. You are a child of God. You are a saint. What great love the Father has lavished on us indeed. John goes on to say a couple more things about what that means to be declared children of God, saints for Jesus' sake. As he continues, he says this in the second half of 1 John 3, verse 1, "For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." In other words, life can be a little bit awkward as a saint in this present day. That Greek word for to know has this idea of a relational knowing, knowing at a personal level. In the same way that many people knew of Jesus during his earthly ministry, and yet some people did not know him in an intimate and life-giving way, in the same way, people may know of you. They could probably put a face to a name, but they may not know you intimately. They may not understand why you do what you do and why you say what you say. They may not understand you at the level of your values. They may not get you. Even close family members or acquaintances may not get you. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. And sometimes it shows up, especially in some cool ways, where the Holy Spirit opens up a little bit of a window. When someone has been mean or unkind to you, or perhaps has just simply not dealt with you in their lifetime, and yet in their time of need, you come along and show them mercy or compassion or love, they may say to themselves, I just don't understand you. Why are you doing this for me? They don't get you. They don't know you because they don't know him. And yet, in those moments, the Holy Spirit opens a window. That they may come to know you a little bit better, yes, that's true, but even more so, they might come to know the one to whom you belong. The reason I show you mercy and compassion and love is because I've been shown mercy and compassion and love by my Savior, by my King, Jesus Christ, my Lord. And as you speak to the hope that is yours, this window is cracked open. And people come to know you, yes, but even more so, the Savior to whom you belong, Jesus on display in your life. St. John continues, 1 John 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Here, John is talking about the final state of the children of God. And he lets us in on a secret. One, we haven't arrived there yet. We have not fully arrived. But notice what John says. He says that what we will be has not yet appeared. It is not on full display. In the next sentence, however, he says, we know what it's going to look like when it is on display. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what's eternal life going to be like? What am I going to be like in eternal life? Am I going to be an angel? Am I going to be a floating ghost? Am I going to have 14 arms and 30 eyes? Is it right for me to even think about being a physical being at all? It's here and in other places in the scriptures where an answer comes to us and it sounds like this. Look to Jesus. Even more specifically, perhaps, look at Jesus. Now, you and I can't look at Jesus physically. We live several thousand years after Jesus rose again, ascended back to heaven. But the person who wrote this letter, John the Apostle, did look at Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And what did he see? He saw a human being. Saw someone like you with eyes and ears and a mouth and hair and arms and legs and hands. He saw one risen from the dead who came and ate fish with his disciples. He saw one who spoke to another of his doubting disciples and said, come on over here, touch my physical flesh with your hands. Put your finger where the nail hole was. Put your hand where the spear wound is. See, it's really me. Stop doubting. John saw Jesus risen from the dead. John saw in that moment your future. Do you want to know what you're going to be like when Jesus comes and calls your name and you come forth from the tomb? Scriptures say you're going to be like him, human being. only human being 2.0, resurrected like Him, to experience no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more temptation. That's who you're going to be. That's your state. And it's because of Jesus. And the Scriptures go on to say, we will be like Him, fully human, fully alive, as we see Him as He is. It's as if standing in His presence, being able to see Him, makes us fully human. Maybe we can think of it this way. A bride is beautiful in and of herself. That is true. But that bride is probably most fully a bride when she's standing in the presence of her bridegroom. I think that's how it's going to be for you and for me as we stand in the presence of Jesus. So in light of all of this, in light of the fact that God has declared us to be His children for Jesus' sake, in light of the fact that we live in the hope of who we are as saints, children of God now, and in light of the fact that we are going to be raised to be like Him and to be with Him, how should we live the 24 hours that God gives us on a daily basis? Well, we find out in 1 John 3, verse 3. St. John says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, fixed on Jesus, purifies himself just as He is pure. So what does that mean? For us whose hope is fixed on Jesus to purify ourselves. What does it mean for something to be pure? Well, you think about it for a moment. If you have a bottle of water, and that water says 100% pure, as you drink that bottle, what are you drinking? You're drinking just water. What are you not drinking? Lead, minerals, other impurities, right? All the junk has been taken out so that what is left is 100% pure. And this gives us perhaps an idea of what God's will is for us. His work, His intention for us is to make us 100% pure, genuine human beings, removing the junk and the stuff from our lives. And He does so as we fix our eyes on Jesus, on our Savior. I'll give you some examples. If our hope of security is fixed on Jesus and the certainty of His care and provision, the Holy Spirit will work through such a hope to free us from the junk of trusting in our wealth or our skill or our connections in order to provide security for us. Instead, we begin to live as pure human beings who reflect our Maker by seeing our time, our skill, our connections, our resources as means by which we can bless others generously, not needing to seek these things for our security. If our hope of acceptance is fixed on Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will work through such a hope to make us genuine human beings. He will remove for us the junk of seeking acceptance and validation and meaning from our connections to others, counting on other people to come through for us, to love us, to accept us in order for our lives to have meaning. Instead, we live as human beings, and we begin to see our relationships as God-given instruments by which we can love and accept and receive others just as we have been loved and accepted and received by our God for Jesus' sake. If our hope of life forever is fixed on Jesus and on the power of His resurrection, the Holy Spirit will work through such a hope to remove the junk from our lives, to free us from the fear of death, or even before that, from the fear of suffering. Instead, we begin to live as pure human beings, as people who are able to see suffering, even suffering, as a means by which God draws us closer to Himself, and death, even death, as a means by which God draws us into His presence. And we too can become a source of comfort and encouragement for others who find themselves face to face with these difficult situations. Dear children of God, dear saints, we are people of hope. We have a living hope who sits at the right hand of the Father, who has won for us eternal life and a place in His family through His death and His resurrection for us. May the Holy Spirit grant us faith to trust in Him, to fix our hope on Him, and the certainty of the future He has won for us. And may He grant that our lives bear witness for others to that hope which is ours. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our King, our hope. Amen.